This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This is the Fabulous Adam Richard, and I have a theory. Oh, hey chickens. I have finished The Horror of Fang Rock. It was fun. It's still ludicrous. as are they all. I shouldn't have wished for them all to die because at the start of this episode, fake Reuben zaps Vince and I liked him. I was hoping he would be the one that survived and is the first one to go in the episode. Oh, poor Vince. The Doctor finds like a space cylinder thing, like it's a power relay sucking up the generator's energy. Adelaide screams at the Colonel for pacing. Like, this is when you're like, please kill her immediately. Why is she screaming about pacing? and then... Then she faints and Leela's like, nah, I've had enough of this. the Doctor hides in Reuben's room and ends up hanging outside the window. It looks hilarious. I love it. Reuben finally comes into the crew quarters. Leela gets her knife out as the Doctor's climbing back in. He's found like an antenna because he says at the start, like, they must be using the power relay thing to signal a mothership and for some reason... Adelaide screams again because of course she does. She's Adelaide. But it's her last one because Reuben pops his hand on her head and zaps her to death. Yay, Reuben. the Colonel runs out and Leela throws her knife at Reuben and the new version, his head breaks in half and the knife goes right through the gap. Oh my God, it's so creepy and weird. It is cool though. Leela and the Colonel go to the lamp room and the Doctor sits on the stairs as Reuben's coming up and convinces him to stop being human again. He's like, you know, what? It must be exhausting. He's like, yes, it is. So he transmogrifies into a big green ball. Kind of slimy, glowing. It's got one eye and some tentacles. It looks kind of awesome because I remember the old one, which I could watch, I suppose. It's on the Blu-ray. But it was just, it really did look like a half-inflated balloon with a light inside it. Bit of paper mache with things stuck on it. Paper mache did a lot of heavy lifting back in the old days. So the Doctor has worked out that he calls him Reuben the Ruton, and he's worked out that it's one of the Rutons that have been at war with the Sontarans for years. And we've heard about the Sontaran Ruton War whenever the Sontarans have kind of been in the show. They were invented by Robert Holmes in The Time Warrior when he was writing the episode and Terence Dix was the script editor. And now Robert Holmes is the script editor and Terence Dix, the former script editor, has written this serial, these four episodes. And so it's kind of cute that they've, you know, they're just continuing this weird ongoing storyline in the background, which is kind of how I used to like The Time War. Like, it would just be a vague mention here and there and then became a more of a big thing later on. But, yeah, I kind of love that the Sontaran-Ruton War is just some sort of thing that, you know, the Doctor vaguely gets involved in when they're threatening Earth, as they are here, because the Ruton says that they're going to invade the planet, use it as a staging area, and the Doctor's like, well, then the Sontarans are going to bombard it with photonic weapons and everyone will be killed. And they're like, ah, you know, they're primitive bipeds, they'll be fine. So, yeah, although, you know, Big Finish have started a series this year, or maybe they started it last year. It's called Sontarans versus Rutons, and it's got, like, heaps of old Doctors, and maybe some of the newer ones, basically getting involved in the Sontaran and Ruton War. And I'm like, do I really need to go there? Like, I feel like after watching Fang Rock, that should be my next trip to Big Finish Land. Although I do have my weekly podcast to get through. It's Energy of the Daleks this week with Tom Baker and Louise Jameson playing Leela, just as, you know, in this one. So I've got to listen to that as well. It's very busy here in the Theory Dome. I've got a lot to get on with. So the Doctor wants to knock out, there's like a scout ship and a mothership coming, and he needs to deal with them both. He's like, oh, I need some sort of laser sort of thing. The Leela's like, well, why don't you use the lighthouse? He's like, oh, yeah, I just need a diamond. The Colonel says, Dead Henry used to carry diamonds in his pocket. So they go downstairs. The Doctor had, like, before this, thrown some gunpowder, or had gotten Leela and the Colonel to throw gunpowder down the stairs, and then they light it and it freaks out the Ruton and runs all the way back down to the bottom of the lighthouse, or he falls. So the Doctor and the Colonel go back down to get the diamonds out, and the green glow's coming up the stairs, and the Doctor's like, hurry, hurry, as the Colonel's going through Dead Henry's pockets. It takes forever. Finally, he gets the diamonds out, and Doctor finds the one that he wants and throws the rest on the floor. So, of course, the Colonel has to pick them all up, which is the death of him, because the zappy tentacle comes around his neck. Then the Doctor gets to the lamp room, and Leela has set up the kind of, it looks like a mortar kind of thing. It's basically to send up a rocket. I think they used it at the start of episode one, like, or at the end of episode one, sorry, to warn the ship that was about to crash on the rocks. Was that the end of episode two? Anyway, whenever it came. I can't remember now. But yeah, so they send that up. And no, it was episode one, wasn't it? Because we've had a lot of Adelaide screaming. So they send that up, and Leela set it up to and filled it with things from the Doctor's pockets, like marbles and jelly babies and things. And when the Doctor goes off to the crew quarters, he's like, Leela, don't shoot until you see the green of its tentacles. I'm like, oh my God. I think that's technically racist, because it's paraphrasing from some terrible British colonial business. Anyway, let's not go into it. So Leela shoots the Ruton, then goes downstairs to gloat at it because she's killed it. And it's like, the special effects that they've used are quite gross. There's a gaping hole in the Ruton, and it's like goo kind of pulsing out of it. It's grotesque. Then the Doctor sets up the laser to shoot the mothership, and we see the mothership. Like, there's a 3D special effect mothership going on in the background. And so the Doctor tells Leela not to look, and then he's like, okay, run, and they run all the way outside the lighthouse, and the lighthouse, I guess, shoots the laser at the spaceship and it blows up. But Layla, of course, looks. Of course she does. And she's rendered blind and is freaked out. She's like, Doctor, you have to kill me. The old and the infirm can't, you know, be suffered to live. And the doctor laughs and says, you'll get over it. She uses a different word than infirm. But I know that that is an offensive word for people with disabilities. So I'm not going to say it here. But she says it. It's, yeah. it's, you know, words change their meaning over time. And it was probably fine back then, but it's not okay now. Anyway, apparently the looking at the explosion, as well as sending her blind temporarily, has caused some sort of pigmentation diffusion. I don't know what the doctor calls it. But it has changed the color of her eyes. And she's like, what color are they now? Because she can't see them, obviously. She doesn't have a mirror. And they're blue. And this was like a production thing. Like, so someone had decided that the name Layla meant brown-eyed, which it doesn't. So she had to have brown eyes and she had to wear these, poor Louise Jameson had to wear these terrible, uncomfortable brown contact lenses. And then at the start of this series, it was like, can I stop wearing the contact lenses? So this was like a, you know, they just had like a little story beat to explain why she now had blue eyes. Even though you could barely see, you can barely see the color of people's eyes on television back in those days. I certainly couldn't. Mostly I watched this in black and white. But yeah, it was like, I do feel sorry for Paul Louise Jameson. Like, wearing any kind of contacts is uncomfortable. And then as they, you know, get in the TARDIS, being the only people who have survived this encounter with the Rutons, the doctor starts quoting a poem by Wilfred Gibson called Flannan Isle, which is about three lighthouse keepers that go missing. And it's, yeah, it's quite an infamous poem. But based on a true story, it's assumed that there had been, you know, some murdering going on. But the bodies were never found. Like, it's still kind of a creepy story. All right, I'm going to watch all these special features on this Blu-ray and then I'm going to rabbit on about them next week.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.